Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Stephanie, this has really come a long way from the Donkey Kong that I used to play when I was a little kid.
Right, remember that?
Yeah,
good stuff, right? Good stuff right there.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
A very sweaty Ben Vanel. It is... I'm calling it the first day of unofficial summer.
Wow. The groundhog has spoken.
That's right.
Ben, once a year, comes out of his hole and goes... Oh, I'm fucking hot today.
Yeah, I'm literally, my apartment is curtains closed, and when I get home, aircon on.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of aircon on, it's aircon on Knox.
Aircon is almost my name, like Adam Knox, aircon.
Basically the same thing, yeah.
I'm just trying to...
Get on board, Tommy.
I'm yes-anding. Even if someone goes like, duh, you got to yes-and.
Would you like to help me stretch out this long bow? Yes, and... Add a few more arrows in here.
Yes, we've been recording in our stewed for the past, 6 months, 7 months? And
now we're the ones being stewed alive.
It's the first really hot day.
Yeah, we started recording in here in the middle of winter, and so being in a windowless box was actually really beneficial. And now, it's getting warm in here. That little skylight.
Yeah.
Maybe it's wedding season, baby.
We could convert this to a sauna and charge entry.
Yeah.
Because we record in Melbourne, we could just wait 20 minutes for the weather to change.
True. Actually, I think it's going to be cold again next week.
Yeah, it was thunderstorms yesterday.
Yeah. That would be great if just like next week people tune into the video episode and they think they're going to just be seeing us on a couch with some baffling. And instead, it's all like timber in here.
Yep.
We're just all here wrapped in a towel.
Yeah.
Mid-episode, I'm pouring the water onto the rocks, onto the coal.
That'd be great. Yeah. Ice, like, glingling along next to us. And you can hear it the whole way through.
Naked Greek man next to us. Yeah. I love it.
Deal.
People being like,
Alexi will be
this?
Our guest.
Yeah.
Well,
we've
got to convince him to put his clothes back on to fly here before he takes them off, as is his natural form.
Mm.
Summer is good because it means, like you're doing, close the blinds and play a bunch of games that have come out.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that and getting little patches of news. We're fucking nearly right at the end of the year here.
I know.
But there's still
eight or
so things to come out
before
the end of the year.
I have been doing recently a tentative little top 10.
Me too.
Oh, fuck. I haven't even thought about
it. Get top tentative.
Excuse me.
Yes, and...
Excuse me, yes, and I haven't even thought about that yet. I saw like Jeff Keighley post about the Game Awards coming up, which they're selling public tickets to again, which I hope doesn't mean someone storms the stage this year.
Big row of bouncers all along the front.
Yeah.
It almost definitely will.
Yes. But
December the 8th, I think that is, which is, I suppose, the 9th hour time.
Deck 9.
I always like watching that.
Yeah.
We did like a watch along with our patrons last year. Maybe we'll do something like that again. Or maybe even do it on, I don't know.
With everyone.
I don't want to commit to anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's
a huge problem of mine.
As I said on an episode a few weeks ago, because it always coincides with the start of the Meredith Music Festival, which I go to every year. For the amount of time that we talk about Jeff Keighley on this podcast, I still do not know what he looks like because I've never watched the Game Awards live.
What are your plans this coming December 9th?
I'll be it on my way to the Meredith Music Festival.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll do a watch along with patrons or something.
I always want it, but I never get some people get lucky and get a bit of reception down there. So it always means I'm like sitting there being like, because we leave pretty early, like before it's even started. There's been like once or twice I've been in the line to get in and seen a stray piece of news. But then most of the other times I'm like spending all weekend being like, I wonder who's getting added to Smash Brothers this year.
I have a feeling it'll be a good one this year, but as good as these things get. But part of what's good about them for me is I love watching all the stupid ads and stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's
so
much fun.
Yes.
So
it's the new E3.
Hell, yeah. Maybe we'll even get a little bit of footage. I think it's way too early, but maybe a little bit of a logo or something for The Legend of Zelda, the motion picture.
Yeah.
I wonder what that logo could possibly look like. A couple of triangles in there.
People will cheer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
At least three triangles.
Yeah, sure.
Classic. How exactly did this get announced? Because what the version of it, the announcement that I saw was... from the Nintendo Japan Twitter account.
Yes.
In English saying, "Hi, it's Shigeru Miyamoto here." Mm-hmm. They just gave
I lost my password for a while, but I'm back in.
Show Bob's and Virgin.
Sex gifts.
He got handed the keys to the Twitter account to announce via a series of tweets that they are, I guess, in development of the Legend of Zelda live action film.
Live fucking... insane decision action. Yeah.
Mm.
Wes Ball is the name
I thought you were going to say Wes Borland from Linkin Park. From Limp Bizkit, sorry.
Oh, no. He's not involved as of right now.
Could be doing some music.
Know. Yeah.
Ooh, wait, no, that was a different band.
Are you going to do Disturbed?
No, I don't know what I was going to do.
I thought you were going to do Uga Chaka.
I was going to do...
I can't stop this feeling.
I realized I was going to do Korn.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what I was hearing.
That'd be the Zelda version.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I wish
music
I could have done that.
From and inspired by the motion. Remember that? There'd just be like eight songs that are just like, what? So someone heard about this movie and just cranked out this
song? I watched The Matrix and I was like, damn. They are making that. Wes Ball has directed the three Maze Runner movies and next year's...
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Thank you.
Which were good movies up until... potentially this one.
Well, and he's not been involved with any of the others. I think I only saw the first two, and there's two after that, maybe, or something like that.
I think there's three. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is the fourth.
Because the first one was Franco and John Lithgow, and
there was a monkey in it. I'm pretty sure.
Sure?
Was Andy Serkis the main?
Yeah.
The main
yeah,
ape.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Caesar.
And it was Earth
I barely
all along.
Know her.
Maybe that'll be the twist at the end of the Legend of Zelda movie.
I don't want to fucking see a live action one.
Me
I don't
either.
It's a stupid move when the Zelda series has had at least once the best visual style that Nintendo's ever done.
Yeah.
The Wind Waker, if they made a Wind Waker style Zelda movie,
absolutely.
That would be a 100% ticket purchase price commitment from me.
The past two, right? Like that semi, like make that a bit more watercolory, you know, like that.
Well, Skyward Sword has that kind of cell shaded watercolory. It'd be great. It's weird that they've never done like, they've done manga like as tie-ins that are just like the plots of the games, but it's weird that they've had such strong visual style and they've never done like a tie-in little, you know,
they had a cartoon series back in the, like the 80s or the early 90s when it was like brown hair, first couple of Zelda games, NES Link.
Yeah. And that's American made around the same era as the Mario cartoon.
Which this one.
Captain N, the Game Master.
This one is American made as well,
I guess. Was going to say, like Zelda's going to be some fucking blonde white boy, right?
Yeah.
I suppose so. Who would you cast if you're casting Zelda?
God.
You got Link, Zelda, Ganondorf. Who are you doing?
And also we're coming from...
Timothy Chalamet.
I was about to say, because we're coming from the realm of,
you
know, Miyamoto going, let's get Chris Pratt in there as Mario.
Right.
So
I've got it. Ryan Gosling... and Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
In their Barbie costumes, basically.
And Cillian Murphy as Ganondorf.
Or Will Ferrell as Ganondorf. Just use the Barbie cast.
Yeah.
They're too old, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm thinking Will Ferrell, I'm picturing kind of, what's the character's name? Mugatu from
Mugatu.
Zoolander.
Yeah.
Him really done up like that.
Muganondorf. You know,
tweak that a little bit and that'd be a good Ganon.
He could be like a villager.
Oh yeah,
I'd see him that as like, oh, you want to buy some clothes, Link, or
some
whatever.
Arrows? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if
Chuck
they're
him
going,
his beetle, yeah.
Is Link a adult or is he an adolescent?
Changes game to game, but he's
generally a teen, isn't he?
The oldest he's been is I think like 20.
Yeah,
in Ocarina of Time.
So weird. Yeah, I'm 20. I'm 20 years old. I'm Link.
Yeah.
I just had my 20th birthday.
Generally, I'm like 13 or so, but today I'm 20.
The oldest I've ever been is 37.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's 30.
You're out.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. You can't be Link.
Gosling's like 39 or something. And he still works as Link. objectively.
I can't think of anyone who could possibly be named who I just don't want to see a live action one.
Person. I don't know any teen actors, right? Some cunt from fucking Euphoria. That guy, so. Lucas Gage.
Someone who looks like an elf.
Jeremy Allen White. Rig out for the entire film.
Yeah. He's the right height.
Yeah. If he was a bit younger, maybe. But, I mean, you're totally right. Like, this is, there's so much strong visual stuff. And the big problem, the Mario movie looked great. The big problem with it was Mario, in terms of plot, is such like a blank, it's very one-dimensional. It's a blank canvas. They could have used that to build their own stuff, and instead they just kept it very one-dimensional. But Zelda has so much different, like, lore and story stuff that if you pick little bits from all the games and you had it in that in a visual style of one of the games with the quality of animation that Illumination can do, it could be great. It could look as good as the Mario movie and be a little more satisfying plot-wise.
They've got a lot of money and it's being, like, at least distributed, which is weird, by Sony Pictures, which is a funny thing for Zelda to be a Sony thing now in a way.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what the production studio is, but...
Oh, it's some... I remember it's like the guy, the head of it, it's just his last name, like Arad or something.
Oh, Avi. Because he was... The headline is like a photo of Miyamoto next to this dude who's just a producer.
Yes.
And it's like the idea that this is catching any of the big Avi heads who are like, right. Yes, the producer from Venom, he's back.
That's it, yeah. He's like... And worked on it, like, not executive produced, but I saw, like, all those Sony Spider-Man movies, right. a bunch of other superhero stuff.
He was an early Marvel
stuff.
Guy. I think he was a Marvel creative director guy at least in the period when they were really popping.
Right. The CGI in, like, Venom and stuff was fine,
I
believe. So that is good, because I don't want a situation where you're getting, like, Will Smith Genie or, like, Cats or, like, any of those. Like, if they fuck up a Goron and it looks like it's whoever...
Yeah,
Face coming through a rock, man.
Wes Borland, before he was a director, he was a visual effects guy as well.
Wes Ball.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And? Yes, and. That's what you're improving with Wes Ball. I don't.
You know
like
a better Wes?
Choice at all.
You know a better Wes for this?
Ah, yes.
Craven. Dig him up.
Spooky ass Link. Yeah, Wes Anderson Zelda would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Stop motion animation.
Stop motion animation style.
We're copywriting the AI generated TikToks of that, by the way.
Yeah.
No one out there can do Wes Anderson Zelda.
No one's thought of copywriting them before.
Yeah.
That's why everyone's plagiarizing. It's because they're not putting copyright at the end.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Either they make it kind of realistic version of all this kind of stuff, which I think will just look weak and have
like a Game of Thrones, like a
be a bit dull, or they go kind of the problem with the One Piece live adaptation, which had a huge budget and has kept that sort of cartoony look of the costumes and tried to, you know, not strive for too much realism.
Yeah.
But then that just ends up looking like a bunch of cosplayers. So it's so hard to find that balance between bringing something that is cartoony into the real world, and either which side do you land on? Do you go pretending that this just exists in the real world, or
I think you
we're
have
doing
to
the heightened
completely go gritty fantasy thing for me, because like the Dungeons and Dragons movie, for example, was that this year or the last year or something? It looks fine, but it looks like exactly what you're saying, people
a theme
in costumes and a theme park and whatever. And I don't, it would be better to have Link not really be looking like Link, but be looking good within this movie.
He's wearing, it's like olive green. It's not quite.
He won't get that till the end. He'll be a farm boy. Like, that's the other thing is, you can exactly guess what this movie's plot will be, which is fine. And like,
I guess they'll try and make it like a Harry Potter, right? Because you have all that lore, those intertwining, interlinking, you know, time travel-y
into
plots.
What?
Mm-hmm. Into
Zeldering. The main character. The guy you play as.
Yeah. They could spin it out into this massive, like, Marvel-esque, you know, thing.
I think that's what they'd be thinking. They would, I like the Zelda games where it starts with, like, Skyward Sword is cool, where Link and Zelda already have this relationship.
Right.
But they'll go, this is just a random-ass guy who doesn't know the power he possesses.
And it probably should be that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then when you take away, by making it live action, the flair that Zelda is capable of having, to my mind, inevitably take that away by having it be live action. Like, they will do their best, I'm sure, but I can't. Maybe I'm just not a visionary.
I mean,
but I can't see myself how that is anything other than boilerplate.
From the twisted minds of Wes Ball and Shigeru Miyamoto.
You say Wes Balland. maybe they do go like hyper stylized, high fantasy, bright colors. You know,
based
like,
on the Maze Runner from the trailers I've seen of
well,
it.
Well, because
yeah, that's pretty great.
Something about Miyamoto being involved makes me think that that would be the direction. Because what we're describing, like when you talk about it being, you know, realistic style, gritty fantasy, what we're describing is the first take on the Mario Brothers movie. You know, I think they would probably have a bit in their head of like, that's not. You know, that flopped once for us. That's not going to work.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's not what people want.
But like why do it in this... Why do it live action at all?
Well, this is the thing. Like, so I believe... You might have to Google this for us, Ben, as our official number cruncher.
Yes.
I believe that Illumination is owned by Sony. Or no, because Sony has their own animation department. Because this is the weird thing.
What am I Googling?
is Illumination Entertainment the company that... animated the Mario movie.
You're going to have to type quicker.
Yeah.
Illumination, just look them up. Are they part of Sony? I always thought they were. Maybe they're not.
But I think it's Sony distributing it as well. And so, I don't know.
It's co-owned by Universal.
Oh, okay.
And Comcast.
Which, this is kind of weird that Nintendo has this deal with them for Mario. And you have to imagine they'd be sitting around going like, oh, I mean, that is now the second highest grossing animated film of all time. Made billions at the box office. We got this ongoing relationship, and then all of a sudden they go, yeah, we're doing Zelda with Sony. Like, you have to imagine they'd be a bit like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, Link's a dude.
Yeah,
sorry.
He's just a dude.
He's a real boy, whereas Mario is a cartoon.
I mean, like, I don't want to go in with, you know, preconceived notions about it.
How dare you prejudge the Zelda movie?
Exactly. You can still get pregnant from prejudging. So, like, I don't want to do that, but... It is not what I would have chosen if I was generating this somehow.
I mean, I guess
as
like,
a visionary,
there's been
what I would do.
There's like, you know, the Guardians movies are very colourful. They have that sort of almost cartoony vibe to them while still, I mean, they're very well cast. That really was key with those. But you can do it. You can do a sillier version.
Yeah, whatever. Like Twilight Princess and stuff like that had a more realistic Zelda-y look. And it's not my preferred type, but it works in those. And so do that well and like have the music be good and it's a hero's journey thing and whatever. Then like, cool, that'll be fine.
I'm just picturing a version of this where it's like Illumination animated and it's like a squishy little... Almost like the Link's Awakening remake, you know, like a really cartoony and how fun that would be. But that's just my personal preference of the kind of shit I like to watch.
Link will just have to be chatting it up the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Unless they do like, did he talk in the Northman? Not really. Not much.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or like The Revenant or whatever. One of those movies where someone's just in the woods by themselves for the whole time.
Yeah. Well, when they talked in The Revenant, you could not understand them anyway. So that was good.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I guess I'm imagining this as like Harry Potter. They want it to be Harry Potter.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's probably the closest.
Yeah.
And I was saying before we recorded, it is funny how, you know, Miyamoto's 70. He's pretty like hands... He's, you know, checking in on what's going on in there, but he's like kind of hands off with the actual development of games now. It's so funny that he's just now... His role is theme park designer and movie over... It literally is
Hollywood
like,
producer.
Yeah, if you were like... A six-year-old being like, what would you want to do when you're 70? Oh, I'd like to make roller coasters based on my little drawings of things I saw in the woods.
Check their Twitter tomorrow and it'll be like, hello, Shigeru Miyamoto here. I'm an astronaut now.
I'm
going to space tomorrow.
I mean, good for him. He's just like, you know, he's just vibing on mixing it up with people in Hollywood. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I hope it turns out well. I really like Zelda. The stories of the Zelda games have never been the reason why I'm there either, so it's not like how could they tear apart the thing that I love?
And I bet it'll be a thing where it's like, if, you know, it's kind of weird that this stuff isn't included in it, but I bet it's something where, like, his kids watched the Maze Runner movies and loved them, and so he's like, yeah, I don't know how old his kids were, probably two, but, you know, like, I'm sure he has some kind of, like, attachment to... You know, the people that are involved in working on this and their previous work.
I don't know. I reckon with Illumination, it was like, look, this is the amount of money that the amount of revenue and profit we've generated from our previous productions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've gone, tick, And we'll have some oversight, but, you know.
To be fair, and you can tell from us sitting here sweating in our box of a podcast studio, we don't know how the movie business works.
We do, and that's why we're not involved at all, honestly.
There are elements that have kept us away. But, yeah, that's coming.
Yeah.
Also coming, and then after I'm done, I'll tell you about the next piece of news. Also coming is a new Mass Effect game eventually. Yeah. It was N7 Day. How did you all celebrate?
N7 Day?
Yeah.
When was it?
Have a guess. It was in November.
Yeah. What's today?
What's today? Was it yesterday?
I went to the movies.
Yeah, I went to the movies with Ben. Yeah. And I did a gig before that.
Yeah.
It was because I don't remember why he even had it in the games, but he's got N7 written on him. Shepard.
Yeah, Is that
born
one?
On November the 7th?
I don't think it's even a rank or something.
No, true, because he's a spectre. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But whatever it is, they always
That's
have
the count
like
of how many times he said the N-word in his life.
Oh, God. Get him out of here.
Yeah. Cancelled. Cancelled Shepard.
And rightly so.
Proudly on the chest.
Yeah. No. We're not going to celebrate that day. Are you kidding me? Shepard, I don't care what your favourite shop in this station is. I'm not going to shop there.
It's real
dude.
Scarlet letter shit. Put the shirt on so everyone knows.
On the other shoulder is the Confederate flag.
This is set years after the first Mass Effect games is what we know about it so far. And they showed a little teaser trailer thing.
Which they'd done. They showed a teaser
ages ago. I don't remember how long ago even it was.
Years, I feel like. And it was like more just like, oh, it was like the curvature of the Earth, right? And it was like, Mass Effect is back.
Yeah. Wait. I feel like there was a snow planet and Liara was in it or something.
Maybe.
And this one is like a person in a Shepard looking suit walking towards a spaceship. It looks like the guesses that other people are making and that I kind of agree with is it looks like you're probably playing as like Liara this time.
Right.
Because she can live for hundreds of years. The Asari could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
them bluebirds.
And they will be out, maybe going to the Andromeda Galaxy.
Right. I'd avoid that one if I was them.
Yeah.
It didn't go too well last time.
Not much information as of recording, but they were just
Do you think
more
of this gets dropped at the Game Awards potentially?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
That would make sense. It's not a lot. It's like a very... And they put it up weirdly as like separate like 5-second clips on their website that then stitched together to make one like 30-second.
Right.
Get more views that way. For the advertisers.
I guess so.
Ben, just before when you said the trailer showed the curvature of the Earth.
Yes.
Did you misspeak?
What do you mean?
When you said that there was a curve.
Not again. How many fucking times we got to do this? It's a sphere.
We just cut out the next 4 hours of the pod.
We're sweating way more.
Sweating even more.
There's diagrams. It's
dark in here. Yeah.
No, but you could see, they figured it out in ancient times. So you can just put two sticks far away and you can tell.
Oh, yes.
Well, they did it wrong then. That's not a lot to say about that because they didn't show much, but it seems as though it's like the done thing now, which is teaser for a teaser for a teaser down the line, down the line.
Yep.
And then drop a trailer with absolutely no warning whatsoever.
Sure. Maybe.
Or at the Game Awards is a good
guess.
Yeah.
When was what was the last BioWare game?
Anthem.
Really? That was the last? Yeah, I remember it. That's a shame.
2019, I reckon. 19, and so the Mass Effect announcement must have been after that. I feel like it was in 2020 possibly. So
it's
been a number of years and they're not showing much. And this is all, like CGI stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
Did not like Anthem. Nobody seemed to. It was just boring.
Yeah.
Was the problem. So I don't have like
It was in the midst of a glut of better versions of that sort of online-ish, co-op-ish.
Everyone was chasing that Destiny dollar still, which they are starting to get over now, sort of. But by getting over it, they're letting studios fall apart by trying to chase it.
Yeah.
But it was like Mass Effect Andromeda. So 3, Andromeda, Anthem. So it's been a while. I liked the Mass Effect games a lot. I don't know if I ever got around to playing Andromeda. I don't remember, but that wasn't well received.
Yeah.
I'm totally up for a reboot thing. I don't even care if they like bring Shepard back and whatever.
Yeah.
Do anything with it as long as that feeling from the first batch of exploring a Star Wars that's not Star Wars.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Having your mates, developing your things.
This guy's made of jelly. It talks through your mind.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
This guy's big. He's like a frog.
All right.
This guy's like a rhino.
This is the level of writing they need to go back to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a better version of Star Wars at the time, and is even better now in comparison to Star Wars. But
and they can't recreate the thing that was part of Mass Effect's appeal back then of like, wow, we're going to tell this story over, you know, 6 years with three games and whatever, because that's a lot more common now.
Totally. And your save file carrying over was for me, a real novelty from 1 to 2.
And eventually was their, not downfall, but the thing that people ended up having the biggest problem with that first trilogy is that you kind of bottlenecked you back into an ending that didn't reflect your decisions from the previous games in the way that they had set up back in the day. So,
which is like, you know, it was never going to be an ever-branching part, like, you know, it was a game. It had to come back to a point at the end.
It's always going to do that, like, whatever that shape is, an ellipsis? No, that's a three dots.
I've never seen this shape before in my entire life.
I know that the coolest bit is at the top for me. That's where I focus
on. The coolest bit.
That's the bit that you got to pay the most attention to.
Yeah.
The anus. Yeah. It's cool that Mass Effect would come back and that it would be a sequel thing. But
and if it was good... I'd like that.
But that is a big old...
it's a big gamble. Yeah.
Well, you know what I love doing? Posting on my favorite website, x.com.
Oh, no.
And I don't have it on my...
Flat Earth thing.
I don't have it.
And 7 day shit. The fucking this now. What's wrong? What's happened?
You bought a Cybertruck, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't have it on my phone anymore because, you know, my favorite... place to consume this app is on my PlayStation 5.
Uh-oh. Bad news for you regarding Twitter/X.com.
Mm.
It's so bad now. Remember how they brought in the share button?
Yes.
On the PS5? Because they were like, hey, you can share your gameplay clips immediately to Twitter.
Yep.
They built the whole fucking button for their controller. And now they've gone, actually, fuck Twitter.
Yeah.
We're removing all Twitter integration from PS5s and I think 4s. I don't know to what extent.
I think Elon wants to remove integration as well. He wants to segregate things again.
A lot of shit going on with that guy. But
I always think it's kind of reminds me of like some of those smart TVs that have just like a straight up button that says Netflix on the remote.
Oh, yeah.
Like really betting big on this thing not going anywhere. Yeah. Like I like to imagine having one of those TVs in 10 years if the company goes under and it just
my old CRT TV you barely can use it anymore because it's got a button for Rove Live to go and watch
for
that
each show.
Yeah, it's got a Beanie Baby button,
don't Sick. Forget your toothbrush button, a David Tench button. It's a huge remote.
But it's gone, or it will be gone in the next sort of system.
I didn't read anything past the headline, but did they say why?
I don't believe that they've said exactly why. I think they've just said that they're doing it. But you have to assume that it's because of, I would guess, security concerns.
Sure.
Because of how poor that website is now. Mm-hmm. And like,
it's just not, it doesn't reach the standards of like professionalism or something.
I'm willing to bet also they got a fucking letter being like, hey, we're going to charge you to integrate Twitter into stuff now. So one of those two major things would be the deciding factor, probably the money thing.
What a fall from grace.
Did you see
it
how
used
much
to be so fun?
How much value Twitter lost? So when, you know, Elon bought it for $44 million.
Billion. Which was already a stupid number of what it was worth.
And it's now worth $19 billion.
Fantastic.
A lot of money. I'd take it.
But
yeah, you've lost. It's crazy.
It's halved.
Less
it's
than halved. Halved in, it, yeah. More than halved it.
And completely unforced. Like, there was no reason to do any of the shit that he's ruined that
Just
place
ego.
With.
Yeah, just ego. So stupid.
It's such a fascinating, like, the combination of things that went into ruining that website, like the real world getting, you know, people just used to get on there and dick around and it was like really fun to like just have, you could follow these great comedians and get like a couple of neat little jokes per day if you curated your list enough, and then the world got worse so it turned into more just like negativity and people fighting, and then this idiot buys it and dry, like just all these different things coming together.
Well, there was like a window where it was being used for like revolutions, you know, spreading information with where the mainstream media was like heavily censored in countries. And
if something was a current event and taking place, I would go to Twitter and try to find out what was going on.
Or even just like the first 2 years of it being like, hey, I found this comedian called Rob Delaney, and like every day he tweets about like trying to suck off his wife's new boyfriend. It's awesome. Dude, I love this website.
And I can tweet at him and he'll say something
He'll see it and he'll probably reply.
Yeah,
this guy Drill's got just enough spelling mistakes for me to find this funny. Drill had great tweet, but like that thing's outlived its time.
I saw
and
it.
It's turning into a bizarre like cesspool of like self-feeding right-wing bullshit that
and
I
bots.
Don't like.
Every time, like, boats. I think... Yeah, boats. Bots.
Bots. I know one it's pixelated one.
I've got yachts
on there.
I've got a funny accent now. like, every time I think I tweet from my personal account, it's just bot, like, bots tagging other bots and, like, spamming stuff. I think Filthy's okay, but yeah, it's like, it's just... cluttered with shit.
But we can see that no one's even fucking looking at it anymore. Yeah. Like, so many people have left.
It used to be such a great way of promoting shows and then having people see your show and tweet at you afterwards and give you a little compliment. You know, when it was red hot, you would finish a night at the comedy festival and you'd get on Twitter and you might have, like, five or six people going, hey, saw this, it was great. And then now it's like,
or just
no
bots
one
being
bothers
like,
to do
your
it.
Show is terrible. I hated that. It's like, yeah, these
Harold
are bots.
Sun,
this
two
has
stars.
To be bots.
Absolute bot.
This is bots. It's crazy that you remember the specific number of
I saw a article, I think, on my favorite website, Business Insider.
Oh, yeah.
That
check
was
it
like,
every day.
Absolutely.
What's going on inside business? I know what's in the storefront, but show me inside.
And it was like, millennials, it's okay to grieve the end of social media. Which it's like, you know,
thank God.
Facebook, Twitter, even Instagram, they were sort of positing that, like, they're all on the decline.
Yeah.
It's just TikTok, it's content, it's not, like, social networking the way it used
but
to
this
be.
Stuff changes, and people use that type of content as social networking now, where, like, which has a huge negative effect on the way people, fact check and everything, because you've got someone talking to you, and then people don't use Google anymore.
Yeah.
It seems like that just is out of fashion. So people are asking, what does this mean in the comments of a video? And that's like the worst possible way to learn about anything other than like a dodgy looking link, which is what they're going to have in the Zelda movie too.
Oh, yeah.
So the whole place is fucking falling apart.
I'm more of a fan of business buy her dinner first. There was a... There was another story.
I bet if you look at the camera, you're like shifting your legs back and forth like an excited dog waiting to say that.
I'm Sonic. I'm in a little ball doing the like rev up.
Well, you're like tapping your foot. Like, come on, get a move on.
One quick thing. I thought this was interesting. The president of Nintendo was on a shareholders call and he just gave this throwaway line where he was like, the rumors that are online about the Switch 2 are totally inaccurate. But that could mean any... I love that as a quote because... there's like eight different rumors that all contradict
one another. The two things I've seen, I don't know if they were specified more in the call or if this is like, this is what he means and it's analysis from other people. But the two things were that patent that we talked about last week.
I think
week.
It's that he's talking about.
It's that they patent heaps of stuff. Like was a rideable horse that they patented when one of the Zelda games was coming out that you could climb on the horse and ride that.
Is this real?
Yeah.
Little Epona.
They own the patent for like an inflatable
going
horse
down
that
to
the Wii could interact
JB
with.
JB Hi-Fi and leaving with a mechanical bull for your new Zelda game.
And the other one was that they weren't showing the Switch 2 hardware itself, which I didn't realize this when they were showing it to other people. They were showing spec'd computers that matched...
Okay.
Hardware projections or whatever for it. So it wasn't that they had physical Switch 2s or whatever.
Because if you were a developer, you would develop it on a PC that has the specs and you'd have the, you know.
So I think that was the specific thing is like more that the hardware isn't finalized.
Right, no one's seen it actually.
We know the specs and we can show developers, and he wasn't saying this bit, but the stuff of them showing it to developers seems to be true because a lot of them have said it.
Yeah.
Well, and if it's out in like a year, they need to start
they'd have
their games
to have
for
it.
So yeah, they would, yeah.
But so that is, and that's very typical that they will get a thing that will run like a Switch 2.
Yeah.
And that's what they give. To
yeah.
Them.
Which, because also, but when they were doing that, when was Gamescom? Couple months?
August or something?
August, which is, you know, if the rumors are true and it's launching end of next year, there's still a fair bit of time in there, you would think, for them to kind of tweak, you know, from a year on from that, think about how fast tech can evolve. There's enough time in there for them to tweak it and that not necessarily be...
I mean, if it's more powerful than they've said, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And specific chips might have production issues still and all that sort of stuff. They might need to pivot a little bit.
They might not have enough salt or vinegar for the chips.
Yeah, that could be the case. They might need to have, like, salsa's good with chips if you've got a thing of salsa.
Yeah, dig up that hummus.
I loved... but I do love... This is like... I believe this is like the first sort of on the record official comment that they have made about the existence of a follow-up,
right,
where they're always like, no, we're still supporting the Switch. They just will not speak about it at all. So for him to go, the rumors out there are inaccurate, is like the first time that he's, I believe, publicly acknowledged that
they've acknowledged that there will be a Switch successor in the past as well.
I mean, he could also be saying the rumors about there being a Switch 2 are inaccurate.
and the way he's phrased it is deliberately to not say that it exists because they can't. It's Christmas soon.
So that would be rude to Santa.
Yeah. Dude, you have given him so much work.
Yeah.
He has to go out to all the shops now.
Mm.
That makes sense.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by the great folks in there at Manscaped.
It's time to trim your hair so that Santa does not see it.
Yeah, you want to be on that nice list.
You've got to be.
You gotta.
Or if you're planning to get yourself on the naughty list, make sure that you're prepared for your balls to be seen. The way you can do that is a bunch of the stuff that Manscaped make.
Yeah, down there at the Manscaped factory.
They're always, all the little elves down there are plugging away at the beard hedger for hedging your beard.
Santa needs one of those.
He really does.
He'd hate it. His beard's his whole brand.
This could be a new thing rather than in addition to leaving out the milk and cookies for Santa.
Yes.
Why don't you leave him the lawnmower 4.0 for him to trim up that bush?
That's true. Just because you got a big beard on top doesn't mean you need a big beard down below.
Shave Rudolph. The lawnmower is your personal grooming thing. They got an ear and nose hair trimmer. They got all sorts of other things that I think you can make your own mind up about what suits your particular case.
Yeah. I think you personally listening right now need these products. You should get them because you look like an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
It's all hair all over the place, and that's coming from me, the guy who's totally within his rights to say it. Manscaped, if you go over there and you're checking out, make sure you use the code FILTHY, and you know what you get? You get 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah.
That would be two of the reindeer gone. Would be 20% off.
Which one, Dancer?
It's not close enough for Christmas, I guess, for this, but it's
not
coming
really.
Up.
Not really. I mean, we're going to have
Thanksgiving in the States.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
it's November everywhere else.
Yeah.
Trim that turkey.
Yeah, nice. gobble down some fresh, clean nuts.
Yep.
Manscaped, 20% off and free shipping if you use the code FILTHY. I highly recommend.
Do it.
I agree.
Because like you said, they'll have presumably a big holiday season with the Switch this year. It's last big holiday season.
Sure.
They've got that, like, a Mario
Wonder. They got
Peach game.
Peach game in March.
They've got a couple of bundles, I think, of like a different a different patterned OLED model and whatever.
And something that you might find wrapped up under your tree if you were to get a Switch this Christmas morning could potentially be WarioWare : Move it!
Yeah, it could be wrapped up under your tree and then you could wrap it up in an hour after that. We both played Wario.
God damn. Now he would be furious with that.
Yeah, dude. That's quite the faux pas.
What must I do?
It's a completely different letter. They look similar, but it's upside down. Oh, it's because you're in Australia, I understand.
You saw it upside down.
But why did you say Ario the same?
They should really do that for us down here. Make Mario the evil one. And Wario the good one, because we're upside down.
Yeah,
our toilets go the different direction.
That's right.
Have they ever introduced whatever happened to Wario Speedwagon?
Oh,
what happened,
baby?
To that brother?
Yeah,
and what are some of their hits?
Oh, you know, wah. I don't know shit about Wario Speedwagon, but I do know about.
I couldn't name you a single song.
Is Two Tickets to Paradise them? Well, I'm
I
not going to be able to verify this with you guys either.
I believe it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Grand Funk Railroad, that might be.
Yeah.
Either way, this is a WarioWare move. It is a new WarioWare game. It's out now. It is available to purchase. It is probably at full price depending on your use case, might not be worth doing that.
Yeah, you might say you might start feeling as if it's a bit like lacking in you know, things to take up your time, and you might start thinking, I can't fight this feeling.
That was worth the time invested.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, now I played through the kind of like the first run of the story, quote unquote story mode of this last night. And I had a really good time, and I'm interested in why you are not so hot on this, because it doesn't seem to me to be, in terms of its length and everything, too different to previous WarioWare entries where you can kind of breeze through them.
You can breeze through them, and yet, look, the mini games themselves are fun.
Yep.
And when you have gotten through the story mode and have the ability to play all of them in a more continuous fashion unlocked, that is the most fun way to play this game.
Definitely.
There are multiplayer modes in this that I haven't really tried that... from the little bit that we played at the Nintendo office, and from like what they look like, they seem to be cool.
Yeah,
but that's not really what I'm there for. But the main story thing, going through that for the first time, A, lasts an hour, and B, is just torturously slow because it acts as a tutorial for each of the holding positions.
The poses, yeah.
So each little level that you do is, like all the previous WarioWare games, if you don't know what they are, they throw these little 5-second micro games at you where generally across the series, part of the challenge is just figuring out sort of what you have to do very quickly. And this time around, they're all motion based. So each level, the first time you do it, I think you just do like 15, including a boss of the little levels. And then once you've done that once, you can play that round again, and you're just going for a high score. And you're not going to have seen all of the micro games that exist your first time through that specific level.
Right. So say each one has 20 or 30 games that it could draw from.
You'll
see one crop, and then you have to go back through. So when you finish the story mode, it will the like gallery or museum or whatever they call it, the grid of all of the possible mini games is like one quarter full. And the fun bit is going through and getting of those
a high
and
score, because it speeds up and they get more, each of the micro games gets more difficult the
they
more times
have,
you
like,
see it.
Three variants on
And you're right. So each level has its own sort of set of poses that you're doing for the micro games. So the first one that's just Wario is only one pose, and then the further on you get, it'll be
two or three.
Three possible ones that it'll show you quickly when it comes up. But the first time you're playing through that set of micro games, it shows you how to do the pose with this unskippable,
unfunny, slow.
I mean, it's kind of the presentation of it being like you're on this, all the characters are on this tropical island, and the Joy-Cons are these form stones, and there's this narrator kind of telling you, oh, in ancient times this was the pose. It's kind of the flavor of it is fine, but it just, you know, it's like hold your arms at your side. It's like, yeah, I get it. And you have to watch this thing that feels like it goes for about 5 minutes.
The same as like the sort of little like animated scenes for each of the characters. They've had them in all the games. I just didn't like this crop of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I think it's a cute idea, and I've liked it in the past, when it's like the setting for this is that you're in a car chase or whatever. Mm-hmm, and so when you're in between the mini games, it'll have a little screen of the car chase happening. If you lose a life, you'll get knocked. If you gain one, then you'll speed up or whatever.
Right.
It's just a fun little framing thing. But the little animations before each of those are just poor this time around. I didn't like them. And then that tutorial feeling of the whole story mode is grating for the first time you play through it. I didn't like that
especially
introduction.
Especially in the ones where it's weird, because I get that they kind of have to have that in there to show you how to do it, potentially also to like younger people to sort of, you know, give them time to get across it.
And it was the same with the Wii version back in the day.
But when the whole thing is speed and this rapid succession, when you're doing one of the levels where there's three different poses, you do a micro game and it shows you how to do that pose, and you watch that long thing, and then you do the game which goes for 5 seconds, and then you have to sit through another explanation and do that game that goes for five seconds,
right,
and then a third one. And so once you've got them all, and then it'll every like five levels or so, there's one that's just using all of the ones you've got so far. Mm-hmm. And then those are fun because it's just, oh, great, I'm not having to sit through any of this.
Yeah.
And when you're going back and redoing them, it's really fun. But definitely it is a bit of a chore to go through it for that first time.
Right. When you're doing them after they've been introduced, yeah, it'll just for a second before the thing be like, do this pose.
Yeah, and you can
whip into it really easily. I do have a problem with the level of fidelity of the tracking for the Joy-Cons and some of the poses.
Right.
Mm. Like some of the things you're doing, it's just not able to read well enough. So you can be in a position where it's fucking up and not you,
which is
very frustrating. And then, just your first time going through it is really unpleasant because you're having to get all of this tutorial out of the way. And so it feels like it's taking forever, but then it's also incredibly short for the type of thing that it's doing.
Yeah.
So you kind of don't get to have fun with the primary mode until it's done. And then it's like, okay, you're free to do whatever you want now. And then at that point, it almost feels like, okay, well, I'm past that.
Mm.
So, like, do you know what I mean?
It's so weird because I think you could have... It's weird that you just don't get the option of skipping the tutorial of the pose. It's so weird to just not have that in there because you could mitigate all of that by just being like... being able to go, oh, yeah, I get it. You got to do the chicken pose.
Yeah.
I get it. Hold this one here. Hold that one here.
You a picture of a person doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, exactly. If you could just not have that bit.
Yeah.
And if you could skip through the cutscenes, which maybe you could, but I watched them because I knew I'd be talking about it. So like I wanted to know what they were.
I think you can't the first time and then the second time you play through the level you can do it. But yeah, all of that being said, I still had a really good time with it. I didn't really find... too many issues with the motion control stuff, or if I did, it's that they're such a short game anyway that it was down to me kind of not knowing, you know, I failed because I was like, wait, what am I...
Right.
Like I just hadn't
and it's not
gotten that
them.
Challenge of like the, wait, which... am I meant to turn this or... and, you know, that is just human error.
Yeah. There are some where it'll just be like it'll depend on your arm being either like in the center of your body or out to the right or whatever.
Yep.
That it won't be tracking it properly. So like if you're having to aim something in the game, it'll be off from where your body is.
Yes.
And you've got to readjust to like, okay, well it thinks it's here. And because it's so quick, you can't actually adjust to it in time.
Yeah.
And those moments are not constant, but irritating enough that they
it
like
does,
for your whole game to be based around this, it shouldn't be happening.
It does ask you to do a lot, especially in the ones where you're doing it, it's throwing all of the poses that you've unlocked at you, where some of them, like the thing I've liked the most about it is that it does have, I think, a lot of very creative uses of the motion control beyond just swing this baseball bat, chop this axe. Like it does stuff that I just have never seen. Like, this is probably my favorite of like motion control minigame sort of stuff that I've played.
Some
like,
of it's super clever.
And it, like there's this one pose where you are, you drop the Joy-Con that's in your left hand and then you hold the right Joy-Con in your left hand. And on the bottom of the Joy-Con, it's got like a little infrared sensor that I haven't seen used in any other game on the Switch.
Yeah.
And then it'll put up a thing on the screen where it might be like hold up three fingers with your right hand in front of the sensor, and it can it shows up on the screen like a little weird sort of infrared night vision thing of like what your hand is doing.
It's very cool. And when it works, and that is one of the ones where it's like how many, and I hold up four fingers and it's like no, it's not three, like, well, motherfucker, don't tell me I'm bad at maths.
I think it's like a specific thing where you've got to have it like a, and that's one where if you've gone from holding the Joy-Con like a knight to then that one coming up on the screen, you're like, oh, so wait, hang on, I've got to drop the one in my left hand, I've got to hold this right one with my left hand, and I've got to make sure that the little Joy-Con rope isn't in the way of the infrared thing. Like it kind of asks you to sort of jump pretty quickly into this sort of pose that requires you to sort of is a little complicated to get into the configuration of.
And then I'm pretty sure it misread it.
Yeah,
because you can see a thing on the screen of a projection of like what the camera is seeing.
Yeah, so you're holding up three fingers, and it said what?
If I've got a phantom finger that I've never known is there, is not there.
And but also, like, there's another cool one of
the laying them on the table.
Yeah,
or the ground.
You can put them on the table or on the ground where you crouch down, you put them on the ground, and then there's one of them where on the screen there's a couple of steaks cooking, and you got to watch until they're done, and then you turn the Joy-Con over on the ground to flip over the steak. Just cool little simple things like that that I've never seen done in motion control stuff before, because it seems like it's always focused on swing it around or put your hand up in the air. Like, they have put a couple of really neat uses in there. Like, there's a boss round that's like a board game where you're kind of putting the Joy-Con in your hand and then kind of lifting them up in front of your head, like kind of like barbells. Mm. And then it'll come up on the screen with a card on each side. And it'll be like, do you want to move, you know, 3 spaces or 4 spaces? And you're kind of having to guide this little figure along a board game without falling into a trap or whatever. Mm. And you're kind of flipping your hand down to throw the card down. Mm. It's cool. Like, it, the more, and then it kind of near the end, it's been all movement based up until that point. And then it introduces, okay, now sometimes you're going to be doing these poses and clicking buttons as well. So it'll be like, you're holding the Joy-Con in your hand and on the screen there's 2 phones and it's ringing and the buttons on the Joy-Con correspond to buttons that are on the phone on the screen, so you got to quickly find which is the answer the phone call button.
Right.
There's ones where it'll ask you to, like, drop the Joy-Con to, you know, drop food into a fishing pond or whatever. It's, I think it's really fun. Like, I had a, I agree with that tediousness of it, but once of the, like, tutorials, but once I was through that, I was having a really good time with, like, the things it was throwing at me, especially the Nintendo themed round where all of the mini games are using old assets from like Ocarina of Time and all that kind of stuff, which has always been the strong point of these games.
When it's working reliably and you're cooking along, it's really fun. And I love the art style and the jumping between wildly different looking things and different ideas and, like, the pace of it when it's going. It's just that it doesn't play to those strengths, at least initially.
Yeah.
But then, like, that's your first and primary and, like, main impression of the game, because it's also, like, it's got a fair number of mini games in there, but it's still also kind of light, you know, like, it's,
yeah, yeah. It's a lot of the same stuff too.
Yeah.
Not
reliably registering the controls well enough times for me to be, like, annoyed by it.
Right.
Kind of eliminates my urge to play more of it.
Yeah.
Because I know at one point I'm going to do something right and then get told it's wrong. And that's a hell to live in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That will drive any man insane.
I haven't really had that experience with it too much, so that's probably colouring my thoughts in the other way. The multiplayer stuff, which I want to try out, I didn't realise this, but there's some that sound cool where, like, you two people are playing and it's only registering one of your actions, but it doesn't tell you which one. Or there's one where
there's a bunch that are specifically made for two players, like that.
Yeah,
too,
and there's ones
cool.
that are, like, in the room, kind of 4 people. Like, one of you gets told that you're going to be doing the actions, and the other one gets told that they're faking, and then another player has to guess which one was doing it and which one was faking. Seems like they've got a cool little batch of beyond just, hey, all stand around and these games come up.
Yeah. If this had been, again, we've said this before, but, like, it's crazy that this wasn't an early Switch game.
Yeah.
At day one, if this had have been the Wii Sports equivalent, yeah. I mean, the Switch is on track to become the highest selling console of all time, so it's not like it matters, but...
But what if it was double high?
Yeah. This would have been a great pack in day one. Like, yeah, this should have existed day one instead of 1-2 Switch, which, you know, had, if you'd combine some of that stuff of the, like, tilting around and feeling the marbles in it, like, put that into this kind of package.
And the core of it is still, like, fun. I agree with that. Like, it, the games themselves, for the most part, and, like, the multiplayer stuff seems cool, but, again, we haven't just had the opportunity to do that, really. Like, all of that stuff is there. It's just there's not enough of it really to me to justify it being, like, a full price thing and whatever.
Yeah.
And then the way that the, especially after the last one had a pretty good single player kind of format.
Yep.
Like, that it had some extra stuff for you to do that felt purposeful, and, like, that main thing was actually quite long and fun to go through.
There's also something too about, like, this series has generally been mostly on handhelds, and I do think there is something about that suits it a little better for that kind of, like, bite-sized, just going for a high score is very much suited to just, you know, a train trip, as opposed to this where, like, you have to be in front of the TV, and there's something about that sort of, I think, does make you expect a bit more bang for your buck that you may be a bit more lenient of in a replayable handheld format.
I mean, especially when, again, like, your first time through the main thing,
Yeah.
Which, like, it's only very short, and I know there's more mini games and all of that, but, like, that if you're not seeing a lot of them in a sort of fun structure, then that's poorly done to me. You know what I mean? So, but, like, the first time you're going through it, you fucking stand in there in front of your TV like an asshole, just watching this shit cutscene. Like, that, I just didn't enjoy that experience.
I kind of wish the first time through that it would just give you the high score thing, because you'll get to 15 and it cuts you out.
Yeah.
Like, I wish you could just keep going and set a high score in that first round rather than being booted out after 15.
Totally. If there was a, like, brother, I've been here before mode.
Where you
could just go, like, start giving me a bunch of games, trust me to do the poses and figure it out, or let me figure it out without knowing because I find that fun in this. Like, That would have been a lot more of a lot more fun of a way to engage with this, because the structure that is there isn't good, but the things that are underneath it are still fun.
Yeah.
And, like, it's frustrating that some of them don't work as well as maybe they need to be, like, reliable.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I do think it's fun. I just think it's, like, one of the weaker ones of the WarioWare games that they've done for me.
I think it's a good, like, share house party game if you've got, like, kids, if, like, fun family game. I think I enjoyed my time through it a little more than you. It would be great if there was a demo of it. Like, I think this is something that really lends itself to, you know, being able to, like, have a go. And because, yeah, even if you've loved the WarioWare games, I don't know if you can necessarily say that you would be all in on this. Mm. But
I think there's enough of it in there still. Like, it's still, like,
if you thought everybody 1-2 Switch was good, then you'll fucking love this.
You'll be blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just fumbles a lot of stuff, but, like, there's a bunch of the core things in there. This is all to me, obviously, that I still think are, like, some of the games made me laugh and that sort of thing. So, like, cool. That's fun.
Yeah, and a little thing coming up and you're like, oh, that was neat. Like,
it's just a shame it's not, like, the sort of, it's not a progression or an elevation or, like, any way improvement of the better WarioWare games that they put out in the past.
Yeah, definitely.
Which, hey, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
The world ain't going to end.
I mean, look, they're, you know, they're climbing up that mountain. They're making a game. You know, they're grabbing onto the rocks. They're trying to scale great heights.
It's a beautiful metaphor.
They're not always going to get there.
Just such a natural metaphor. Totally, too, is what very I like poetic. About it. It really makes sense.
Yeah.
You bought an analog pocket.
Well, speaking of Wario.
We played Jusant. Don't know shit about this game except it's an indie.
It's made by Don't Nod, the people who did. I can only think of She's All That, and
Wario
it's not that.
Move it.
Nah. Why am I thinking She's All That? It's
what's
nothing
a video
like
game
that
sounds kind of like She's All That?
Oh. It's not called Biggs Lie to Me either. It's like the one, like, indie beanie girl can travel through time. Story. This is unbelievably frustrating.
I'm begging you to reach for that phone. I'm begging you.
We're going analog pocket now.
Oh God! No. It's
Don't Nod.
Don't Nod. I think you've played this game that I'm thinking of.
Beanie girl can go through time.
Yeah, she can go backwards through time. It's a story based thing.
Life is strange.
That's the one. She's All That. Life
Three
is
words.
Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I played the first episode, yeah.
Right. They made Life is Strange.
Oh, okay. I prefer Jusant, personally. Yeah. This is a climbing game, as intimated by Tommy. It is a, like, left trigger to grab on with your left hand, right trigger to grab on with your right hand, and that's the game.
That's it.
That's it.
It's a short little knock it out in an afternoon type of guy.
Yeah, you're like, nice opening cutscene of just a person walking up to a big old, like, not a mountain, more to like a big structure-y sort of.
What do they call
thing?
Those things that are in, like, Nevada? Those big rocks that just jut out of the ground.
That's
a mesa?
No, that's the flat one, a bit. Maybe, actually, because that is what my first thought was. I don't
think
know.
It's a mesa.
I
think it's She's All That
I
rock.
I think it's a mesa. it's like that. And there's, like, structures and ladders and little encampments built on it.
Yeah, lived on this big rock. Right. You're walking over, like, dry bit of desert that has a boat in it. Oh, what's going on here? And like you're wordlessly going up this mountain. If you've played like Journey in the past and things a bit like that, then it's a climbing version of something like Journey.
You're reading people's notes. You're like getting to a bit where you get a little memory play out in a cutscene and, you know, shit like that.
You're having such a sticky beak at all that shit. As you go up, you're rifling through their papers.
All these people that I assume, like, died or something or so went to the rapture.
There's nobody left and it's clear that there's a big drought that's kind of taken place here. And as you're going up, you're kind of going backwards in time because they go down the structure as they were escaping it. It was sort of starting to run out of water and they weren't being able to farm anything anymore because the sun was too hot and you're watching. And like some of the journals are really well written and I liked reading. There's like one kind of person whose progression tracks up the mountain. Mm. She was like, oh, well, my family's leaving, but I want to go up the mountain because there's an expedition going up to try and solve whatever's happening. And that's a nice little through line story. Yeah. And you're a little boy who's brave in the wilderness and climbing up this thing and you've got a little blue fucking frog guy who's your magic pal.
Yes. Because, I think the demo, you didn't have that little guy. But I got up, I guess I got almost to the end. This game is like 3.5 hours-ish.
Yeah, it's quite short.
Yeah, and
it's on Game Pass too.
Yeah, yes, and it's I highly recommend it. I found it like very just sank right into what it asked of me and basically didn't put it down. It reminded me, it's like similar to that Heavenly Bodies game where it's, you know, like a little bit of like physics based, like you get, you coordinate that movement style and then you're just flying around basically.
It's super easy to do too. Yeah, if you just march on the left and right triggers one after the other, you'll clamber up that wall real quick. And you get like a few bits of like, now you've got to attach your rope and swing to somewhere else and things like that. But it's never frustrating to control in the way that like you could imagine if someone says physics-based climbing game, it's not like Quap or whatever where you're like flailing about.
It's meant to be like a fun, you know, like, relaxing.
Yes.
It wants you to get to the top. It's not meant to be like a punishing.
It's completely peaceful and like there's no combat at any point.
Yeah. There's like a stamina bar, but that's never really an issue. And maybe the first time you ever play this game and you are like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, I haven't quite got a hang of it, got the hang of it. But once you've figured it out and it gives you like three or four like pittons to like, you basically like hammer an extra bit into the rock where now you can like rest and you don't have to go back to the start if you fall off for whatever reason.
If you push in the left stick, you'll like hang off of it like Mission Impossible 2 opening, Tom Cruise style, and wiggle your hands out for a second.
Yeah, build up your stamina and like, you can like, once you put in a little thing in the rock, like basically your own checkpoint, you can like jump from there. Which sometimes you have to do.
You've got limited rope, so you can't just be like putting them in all over the place because it will like snag the rope at that point. And so at some point it'll go from blue to red as you're using more and more rope. It's very like straightforward type of thing. Like it's quite simple and peaceful and relaxing. And
it's
like
linear as much as like, sure, you can like, there's a couple of times you can sort of choose which way you climb somewhere, but mostly it's completely linear. And the little friend you have, basically you just like press right on the D-pad or whatever and he'll like do a little pulse and it'll activate certain things around you that you'll need to climb to other areas.
There's like some little extra side bits you can go off and find that are just like pretty boring collectibles. They're not that exciting. It's just like there's a mural on a wall and it's like, hey, you found it. All right, fuck off again.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And I didn't really, from a certain point, I didn't read most of the logs and stuff like that. I was just kind of really enjoying the physical action of playing the game. It's different to other platformers and stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, I found it just really, really satisfying to play.
Sure.
It's a different thing, but I really enjoyed playing the climb on the Oculus and just doing the it's all you're doing. You just look, you know, okay, I can make it over there.
Yeah.
Just grabbing.
It's like that, but without having to think about it too much.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's all really laid out in front of you for the most part. And, like, it'll introduce some, like, now there's these little bugs who are climbing on the wall and you can grab onto them and they'll move you for a bit, but then you'll have to find another bug.
Right.
Some little mechanics like that over, like, I think it's five or six chapters where
right.
each will be sort of just a different section of the right, tower. Right. It's over with quickly, and I don't think it's like too, like, the story is very indie walk through this area type of thing. Just like, guess what? You're on a journey. You got a little guy in there. Mm. Yep. I wonder if he's involved. Mm. Like, I liked reading the bits of paper. Like, they were kind of, some of them were nice little stories. Would just be like, hey, if you find this, we've left, we've had to go, it's getting worse, I hope you can find this, I love you, goodbye. Like, those types of ones were like, hey, that's a shame.
I didn't stop reading them because I didn't like them. I was just more so tapped into enjoying playing it, which I wish it was longer. Like, I know there's like a limited amount you can do with essentially one mechanic.
Yeah.
But I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than a lot of just straight up platformers. I don't know why. I just did.
It's kind of not even a platformer in a way, right?
Yeah,
where you're kind of like, you're going through these parts, but you're not like having to judge timing of things too much. And it's pretty soft on like where it'll let you restart from, like where it'll let you stick your rope and all of that. So it is.
Yeah, maybe if it got more challenging, like genuinely, it you did have to maybe judge a bit more of like the physics of swinging somewhere and jumping and stuff could be a way to escalate it. Which I liked it, and I guess it as a base gameplay style.
Yeah,
it really worked for me for whatever reason.
The ending is like, not to give it away in any type of plot thing, but like your sort of final climbing challenge is sort of like a bit of a climbing maze where there's multiple paths up, and some of them won't work.
Right,
and I will say I found that annoying.
Yeah.
So by the time it gets to the point where it's like, now try this on for size, it's like, nah,
no, thank you.
Right.
Let me hang out.
Yeah.
Because, I found it absolutely fine to go through in an afternoon. Like, it's a nice thing. It looks okay. The sort of general vibe of it is, again, very been there before if you've played stuff like Journey.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's doing that sort of thing, right? Like Inside or whatever, too, where it's like, here's a sort of weird setting and you're going to walk through it and now you're done. Bye.
Yeah, it's like, you compare it to like a short hike or something like that where it's like, nice aesthetic, especially if you're into it, then you will like the whole game.
And
you'll either vibe with that mechanic or not, and it's on Game Pass. And
there's something great about something you can knock off in one sitting where you just feel like, hey, I've got an afternoon. I'm not going to be doing a segment of something. I'm just going to, almost like watching a movie, just devote this amount of time to getting this done.
Yeah, 100%. I liked that with Cocoon as well.
Yes. Yes.
The camera was a bit funky sometimes and would like get stuck in things and go brrr, or like I'd stand on something and just be sort of running in place for a bit and have to kind of wiggle my way off. And just little bits and pieces like that there were, because I was kind of trying to find as much of the side stuff on my way up as possible. And It's like a little floppy at times. Where like you'll like reach towards your next holding point to clamber onto, and sometimes it'll really feel like you're pointing in that direction, and it'll just grab onto the same rock that you were holding onto again, or whatever.
Right,
little tiny bits and piece moments like that aren't too affecting. It crashed out on me once.
Right,
right.
But I think I attract that sort of behavior too.
I didn't notice any bugs. If anything, what I did notice was it was very forgiving with, like, I'd reach towards something that kind of looked out of reach and I'd just kind of snap to it.
Right.
It definitely leans on the side of just letting you get through it.
Yeah.
It's not trying to tax you too much.
No.
Sounds like a perfect Game Pass game.
Yeah. If you've got an afternoon and you like the look of it, then you're not losing anything.
Okay.
Yes.
But I don't think it's something that's like particularly, like, go now.
Yeah, it's not going to stick in my mind for like this so-called Game of the Year list that apparently is coming up rapidly.
People are saying it's coming up, folks.
While you're locking those bars, jacinthe is a French word for a lowering tide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, which having ignored a lot of the lore in this game, I was like, why is it called that?
It brings it up right at the start, just like dictionary definition of Jacinthe,
okay. Yeah.
Which I was like, ah, good. Cool. You knew my first question.
Yeah, this one, yeah.
Well, as you mentioned before, I bought an analog pocket.
Yeah. Do you want to show the kind folks at home? Where is it?
It's too far away.
No, it's too far away.
Do you want me to show them?
They can Google it.
Yeah.
It looks the same as the ones that are online to me.
Right, yeah. Right.
It'll look worse like a Game Boy on pocket. The camera than it will if you look it up.
Yeah.
Well, some people like the verite of, you know. Like,
that's true.
But yeah, it looks like a black Game Boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably a bit smaller than an old school OG Game Boy.
Right. It's like a Game Boy Pocket.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's got like way more heft to it than I expected. If you don't know what they are, they're a... they're probably as close to a hipster version of this kind of product as it's possible to get with a piece of video game tech.
Mm. There's a million variants of this idea out at the moment. Of like, so I bought a Miu Mini,
which is the
cheap version of this, basically.
That, right.
Is a very similar thing, Game Boy form factor, and it can play old ROMs.
Right.
Yes.
Or old real cartridges in this place, which is all you're ever going to do.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, well, the difference with this one that they are very clear on in their marketing and everything is that this plays actual cartridges. It's not emulating. It's replicated the old hardware, but with a beautiful LCD screen, and you put an old, like, I've got an old Wario Land cartridge from Japan that I think I bought when we were there, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you pop it in, it gives you the option of doing like, you know, crystal clear, perfect, pristine display, or you can bump it down to like what it would have looked like on the original Boy screen, or
That's
the Game Boy Pocket screen, or the Game Boy Light screen. It's got all them in there, and then it's got different color palettes that you can put on it if you're doing it in the new mode that it's got. And it's cool knowing that it just is actually just running that cartridge.
Yeah.
There's something cool about that.
It's using FPGA stuff, like the Mr. FPGA, which is like, it's still emulation technically. People get funny about it, but it's like emulating chipsets rather than a second level of like trying to run the code and fake stuff to recreate it. It is trying to recreate what the code would experience going through those chips. This is like, if you understand anything about this, I'm sure this is like listening to me describe cooking. Like, you kill the chicken on the plate and then you eat the plate and you replace it with the chicken.
And then you get it in the microwave.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. And it's different from emulation where you are the chicken and you have to fight another chicken.
But it's a dream that you're having.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the games look great on this screen.
It's a really premium feeling thing and like a very nice looking screen.
Yeah, like it's there's something about weirdly, it almost feels nicer playing Game Boy and Game Boy Color stuff on it than it does playing Game Boy Advance stuff. Not that it doesn't look great on there, but you know, you've seen good like high quality sprite graphics on a good screen, like on the Switch or whatever.
Right.
But there's just something about these old, you know, very simplistic Game Boy games on this sort of high quality thing that really looks so nice. And it's got, it can do its own save states like in the console, in the handheld, which is sick because all those old Game Boy cartridges that had backup on them, the batteries in them that controlled that backup are long dead by now.
Right.
So like that Wario Land cartridge I've got, nothing will save on there.
Right.
So you can have it in, put your save state on the thing, take it out and then pop it back in and pick up where you left off through that. And it also now has a thing on it where you can, weirdly, they were so adamant about this isn't for ROMs, this is just cartridges. And then they did a firmware update at the start of the year where they, I think knowingly, made it easy to put ROMs on it now, which is another thing that you can do if you so choose. But it's
if you own the original cartridge,
if you own
obviously.
The originals. Yeah. But if you're someone who has held on to your library of carts from back in the day, this is far and away the best place to play those original things. It feels great to hold. The screen is beautiful. They're hard to get because when they do release them, they release them in very limited quantities.
They're pricey too. They're pricey. Expensive.
Right.
I bought mine from someone who had, you know, gotten on and bought one to flog. Like it came new in box after they've been, this new batch had just been shipped. They just did a round of kind of transparent ones. And I paid a little bit more than what they ask on the site firsthand.
I gave the guy some extra just because I felt like it. I paid a little more than what he was asking.
But yeah.
Well, weirdly, I went to buy something on their site direct from them, from Analog, and they're one of these weird places where their shipping fees are so high. The guy
like
that I bought
$130 US to here.
Shit.
So the guy that I bought it from on eBay, the shipping was basically nothing, and it ended up being, even with him jacking it up a bit, like what I would have paid to get it direct from them with the shipping anyway.
So it's not like egregious scalper prices,
no.
Right?
But in terms of playing this realm of stuff, and with it being now open to having ROMs on there, it can also run anything up to the SNES and the Genesis, I think. So
it's weird because the cores on this, it's an FPGA thing, which is like those Mr. FPGAs, and this costs around the same as those do. So it's like not crazy because you're getting a screen and everything built in. But the cores they make for this are distinct from that one, so it's not like it has everything that that can do yet.
Right.
They're slightly different, which is weird to me.
But it's in terms
and
of...
And if you put the chicken in the fridge, then it'll be hotter when you eat it next time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of Game Boy stuff now, and Game Boy Advance is on the Switch Online, but there's something about playing it on that screen where it's like a bit blown up that just feels... There's something about just this. It's like the screen is like just the right size for all this stuff. It feels a bit more authentic, and in the case of a Wario Land, it's like the form factor of it, like I think that was maybe the first game I had on a Game Boy back in the day, and like it just that feeling of playing this as a pristine, it's like that thing of like a good remake where it feels like what your brain remembers it as looking like, because the original Game Boy screen was just dog shit,
muddy, and looked like the olive green.
Had a bad refresh rate, like if you moved the whole thing would jitter,
right?
And you'd have to be holding it under like direct sunlight, fly up into space to get pure light.
I kind of in my head had always, I haven't gone back to much old Game Boy stuff very often. And in my head, I kind of remember them all being a lot more simplistic and rudimentary than what they actually are. A lot of them are, I've been playing that that 94 version of Donkey Kong that's on the Game Boy.
It's so good.
That's got like 100 levels in it. And, and
that game's fucking awesome.
And like the design and the backgrounds and stuff in Wario Land, and the sound design and stuff, all of these games are like a bit more intricate and detailed in what they're doing than I remember them as being. So I'm having a good time revisiting all that stuff.
They're very cool. They're definitely like the sort of top of the line for that type of thing, because like I said, I got one of those Miu Minis, which if you want to know the cheaper alternative, they're pretty good. They feel a bit, they're made of plastic, and it's, you know, the screen is decent, but it's like made okay,
right?
But the price also reflects that, so it's a lot cheaper. You're talking like, I think I bought mine for $70.
Yeah, and for ease of use, you chuck an SD card in there, and you're
it's
off
running
to the races.
Like, again, the chicken is knocking at my door, and that means it's time to cook. You're running like a Linux-based thing, and basically running RetroArch off of that, so it's just emulation through. But it can do anything up to like the PS1 or whatever,
which is cool.
Okay, yeah,
for a handheld, yeah.
And there's a million variants of this, and they're making new ones all the fucking time.
You often you can buy like parts and assemble your own basic version of this sort of thing.
You possibly could
relatively easily these days.
All of the like Anbenic and Miu are the there's Retroid is another one if you're looking for starting points.
Anbenic have heaps. I think if you want to go up to even like GameCube kind of stuff, they make some.
Right.
Which is kind of why I ended up getting the Steam Deck, because I wanted one that could potentially do everything up to present day.
Right.
And then when you get into that price range, it's like, well, why don't I just get something that can have my Steam library on it as well?
Yeah. Because then you're talking about those like other like Lenovo, whatever. And
there's
a ton of these sort of handheld things now, because chips are small and they don't use much power, so you can make them now. But
yeah, if you're a fuckwit with disposable income and you like this kind of crap, I really recommend this. It's like, their whole like Analog as a company, like their whole aesthetic of how they market things is so sort of slick and almost kind of Apple-like in the way they... That's kind of what turned me onto them, as opposed to like a Miu Mini where you get like a sponsored ad for it on Instagram and it's like, buy this now, and it's got every, and it's like the,
yeah, right,
the splash page for the Nintendo 64 has like the artwork of Mario from Smash Brothers Ultimate.
You're
it's,
buying you know, them from a website where you're like, I'm noticing I'm getting a lot more text messages from spam
right,
kids than
right,
I used to now.
These yeah, guys are, they're a bit more like, yeah, they make, they've got one coming out soon that's like an N60, it plays N64 cartridges, but it plugs into an HDMI port. Like they're right, very, yeah, they are very hipsterish about how they do this kind of stuff. But if you're in the market for this kind of thing, and like I said, if you've got old carts lying around, which my friend Gibby is a hoarder who's never thrown out or traded in or sold a video game in his life.
Wait, the maker of like, Gibflix?
Yeah, the mod.
The proprietor, the admin. The
proprietor of Gibflix has a... yeah, he's like, brother, I'll let you come around and have a little dig through the pile of
papers.
Wow. Like, God, library this is, master. I can't wait.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
I did the opposite of what you did. I bought an Apple iPad. A closed system, not moddable at all, although I guess maybe
I
people
think
are jailbreaking
they kind
them.
Of are, yeah.
You can get some stuff on there. You can sideload.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Yep. I jailbroke my, like, iPhone 3 back in the day. That was fun. But I got an iPad Air, the latest one, which is I think a 2022 model. I got
bad news, brother, about the year we're in.
Wait, no, they didn't release one this year. Yeah. Which I checked. And there's not usually huge Apple sales for Black Friday, so
you got that M1 chip.
I got that M1 chip that I can play Resident Evil 4 remake on it if I want.
Can you really on
yes,
those?
Yes. Yeah, him. On those, on the new MacBooks and the new iPhones.
It's the
this one has like a USB-C port. So yeah, it's part of that new wave of Apple shit. Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend just got a new phone and she's now got the one that can play the good games and I
right,
don't. Have it borrow her phone to play yeah, like
well,
swap,
she'll swap phone
Creed,
cases and just don't say anything. Yeah. See what happens.
She'll be playing Hogwarts Legacy on it soon, I imagine.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that comes out.
But
definitely.
Fuck, the screen on this bastard is beautiful.
Isn't it?
It's delightful. I was kind of feeling guilty about splashing out on a new iPad, but my MacBook is 8 years old and I host a video games podcast, so I don't feel too bad about it.
It's time to buy an iPad.
Yeah, Well, I don't...
to play my video games.
I don't have Apple Arcade on anything, I guess, except the MacBook, which is well and truly on the way out.
Yep.
But yeah, it's cool. I've still got a Bluetooth Apple keyboard and magic mouse.
Oh,
from
baby.
Back in the day, so
I've got one of the one that you've got, the charging port is like flat under it. So
right,
if it's out of battery, you
flip
can't use it plugged in.
Turtle yeah, style. You got
yeah,
yeah,
one of the worst.
Stupid.
I think easily the worst bit of design they've ever implemented.
Yeah,
apparently
probably.
It's
stupid.
Apparently it's deliberate because they don't want you to use it while it's charging wired because that's I don't know.
Yeah,
why,
but guess
but
what? It's out of battery.
Yeah,
and I want to use it while it's charging.
I got to fucking click something, dude.
Yeah,
oh no worries. I just won't do any work while my mouse charges.
I've had to do that at work when I worked on a Mac iMac. I just had to go get a coffee, which was a real shame. I've got a Logitech mouse for my PC, and guess what? The USB-C port, it's right on the front, so you just plug it in. It's beautiful.
That sounds insane.
But I've got an iPad, so I'll be road testing all of the Apple Arcade games on an iPad.
Time
from
to get
now
Finity,
on.
Time to get Grindstone.
Yes.
Sonic.
Oh, that new Sonic. Yeah, that new Sonic. There's like a 3D Sonic game coming out.
Not
on
interested.
Apple
I've got
Arcade.
The worst Call of Duty game they've ever made
yeah,
to play next week.
Yeah.
Well, that is going to do us for another week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you for joining us. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for everything we've got going on. Mm. We've got the YouTube episodes. We've got all the videos on there. We've got the Patreon. Get on there. Get a bonus show every week.
Yeah.
In the inbox.
We'll be talking about the Finchman's latest film.
Mm.
Went to see that last night and a bunch of other stuff on tomorrow's episode if you're listening to this regular podcast as it airs.
And come see me in Tasmania Thursday, November the 16th in Hobart. Don't message me and say, why aren't you coming to Launceston? How about you get in the little fucking car and drive up?
Yeah. You're going to that island. The least they can do is just get a little car trip.
Also, Sydney, November the 23rd at the Lord Gladstone, and Melbourne, Thursday, November the 30th at Stupid Old Studios, taping my special. Please come and see that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every edition of Filthy Casuals...
is that an analog pocket in your pocket, or are you just happy to fuck me?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.